Welcome to the CCTA Wake Up Call Show. And again, thank you for joining us, and thank you for visiting our sponsors and supporters. And we hope that you have a great week. The first thing that I want to do is I want to remind everybody that come Thursday, May 28th at Stanley Hall Ballroom, 6:30 to 8 p.m., we are honoring members of or officers and deputies from Craven, Carteret, Pamlico, Sheriff's Offices, and also New Bern and Havelock Police Departments. And it's open to the public. Please come and help support those folks. Again, May 28th at 6:30 to 8 p.m.
And it's free.
And it's free. And it's free. Yes. Now, where are we going? I think we're going
You're telling us your name.
I need my name. Okay. I'm Bob Griswold.
Mary Griswold.
Alan Hare.
Pat Park.
Kim Fink.
Glenn Fink.
Very good. You guys went up to D.C.
Yes. Glenn and I went along with several other people from New Beginning Celebration Church. That's Pastor Damon King's church. And it was an incredible event to be a part of approximately 15,000 like-minded Christians to rededicate our country as one nation under God. That was the recurring theme of the entire event. The event started, they opened the doors at 9 in the morning, and it went until past 6 p.m. at night. We got home at 2:30 in the morning on Monday, very tired. But the constants in the program, there were speakers, there was prayers, there was praise music. There were the Marine brass band, all of the segments of the military, Ben Carson, Pete Hegseth, Franklin Graham, Sadie Robertson, Larry Arn from Hillsdale College, who we CCTA people have done many of his courses with. Just incredibly uplifting, motivating, solemn, thankful. It was a blessing to be there.
And Liberty College had a chorus group, and there was another course from, I think it was Colorado. So that was good. And, of course, this was exactly 250 years from the original
dedication,
which was on the same date in 1776. So it was the 16th. Of May in 1776. So it was exactly on the date. And there was a lot of people there from all parts of the country. In fact, we talked to a lot of different people, but I don't know that we talked to anybody else from North Carolina. There was Texas,
California. Several from California.
Countries.
Yeah, one that we were speaking with said that the California elections do not indicate the number of conservatives in that state. Indicated very strongly that there is some shenanigans going on.
Yeah. I know you had said that Mike Johnson was there.
Yes, Mike Johnson was a speaker. Senator Tim Scott was a speaker. Dr. Alveda King.
And Mike, I guess I would just say that I think he did the best. He really presented a prayer that was comprehensive and excellent.
And by the way, watching it on TV, the president stepped in and gave another.
Well, he read Second Chronicles
from the White House. Yeah.
Several of the speakers. The saying that Adela always used to say, "Blessed is a nation whose
God is the Lord."
Yeah, that was a recurring theme as well as the Second Chronicles. And I think the different people, there were some Catholic people there. The TV show The Chosen.
Yes.
He was there as one of the speakers, and
yes,
he was very, very, very good. But one of the things that really hits me is in our country and in our conviction of being Christians, we sometimes get lost in in being the Christian that we forgot about the reason that Jesus came to save us. We forgot that he saved us because we're all sinners. But we are all so quick to attack somebody who has done something wrong. And one of the speakers was Lorenzo Sewell, and I don't know if anyone's familiar with him, but he had a very, 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 very checkered past. Grew up in the gangs and, you know, was a criminal. And anyway, he is now quite the evangelistic leader. And so people were kind of online poo-pooing, yeah, I'm going to listen to this criminal convict and how wonderful America is. And I'm thinking to myself, isn't that what our faith is supposed to be at, is redemption and transformation? Isn't that what we're supposed to be about? And so the whole thing was inspiring in that vein to me.
Now, one of the things, we watched a lot of it on television because TBN was running coverage all day. One of the things that I saw, were there a lot of young people there?
Yeah, there were a fair number of young people, yeah.
That's good news. I mean, we're the old fogies.
Yeah.
That's the good news for the country.
Yeah.
That the young people are realizing what the roots of America are.
And Kim and I did not witness any protesters, but Damon did see some protesters and actually preached to them, and I think was pretty effective at basically overriding their protest.
Disarming.
And disarming, and there was some law enforcement that just kind of got everybody to move on and move around or turn the other direction, but there was limited protest, which is good.
Sadie Robertson was one of the other speakers that really had an awesome message. And to see somebody as young as she is, as grounded as she is, and I want to give that as another example of a family, second chance, redemption, transformation. Look at the granddad and what his story was. I think
Phil Robertson.
Phil Robertson, Duck Dynasty, the Duck Dynasty people.
Oh, he was an adulterer. He was a... You know, he...
A shady character.
He was alcoholic. He was all sorts of things.
But we tend, like I said, we tend to attack our people that go after public office because of their past. And if they have repented and transformed their lives, I don't see any big red flag. I think that's the person who you would look forward to see. I can make a difference. Lives can be changed. There are second chances. This is the greatest country in the world. Where else could you do this? And that was one of the recurring statements too, is where else in the world could we do this? So it was amazing. It was awesome. It was very impactful.
Yeah, this is a great topic. It really kind of dovetails into something that I want to talk about just briefly, and that has to do with George Washington, in several of his addresses, made the issue that the most important thing for the survival of our country would be to educate and train the next generation in what they had given us, by they meaning the founding fathers, the value of freedom, the value of hard work, the opportunity to achieve based on your own effort, and all those things. And unfortunately, what's happening in the public school system in our country, we can't be assured of that. In fact, it's quite the opposite. I think if you looked at it, I think George Washington would be very disappointed in what's going on now in the country, because just like the children, we took religion out of the schools. There was a time when you could have a prayer. Then he said, well, now you must have a silent prayer. Now you can't pray at all. And
unless you're a Muslim.
Yeah. And the thing is, and what it leads to is these people, there's a lot of people in the country who don't respect or love this country. They're not celebrating 250 years. They're probably disappointed it's lasted that long.
That's right. And one of the things that the media has come back with is that they were naming the celebration rededication as Christian nationalism. And it was interesting because three of us got interviewed by a Swedish newspaper, and that was one of the questions that they asked us about. So we had a little bit of fun with it. But anyway, and Mike Johnson has been attacked for participating in this event, because here again, separation of church and state, and how bastardized that has become, and people not really understanding the separation is to keep the government out of the church, not vice versa. But a quote from Mike Johnson, it was that it was wildly inappropriate for the naysayers to be calling it that. But he explains this is a recognition of the deeply embedded history and religious and moral tradition of our country. The people who are upset about it oppose it. They want to erase the history of America and pretend as if we're not a nation that was dedicated originally to God.
Read an article yesterday, Katie Tour, who's on what's MSNBC, she's got one of those stupid shows. She did not know that our rights come from God.
Saw that.
That was also a standing, reoccurring theme in this. There were three pillars that they programmed, that the program was geared towards. And the first pillar was the miracles that made us, and about the history of God's providence, protection, judgment, mercy, guidance, that type of thing. And then the second pillars was they're still happening. And the third pillar was we're going to be a new birth of the faith and freedom, and we calling the nation towards renewal.
I have two quick things. John Adams said, our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And my second comment is, do you really believe that kids don't pray in school before geometry tests?
Like I said, the recurring themes were this is a nation under God. We have had providence and protection.
Yes.
You just have to open your eyes and look at it. And I want to throw in another political thing to go with my original statement with transformation and second chances and all that. I look at our current administration with President Trump. I truly see a change in that man from the moment he got shot.
Yes.
And
versus him coming down the elevator in 15?
Yes.
Escalator.
And, mm-hmm. And his verbiage has changed. His arrogance is still drives me nuts. But I think he has acknowledged the role of God in the protection on his life. And I truly believe that he feels led by God.
Well, we saw that with Ronald Reagan also.
I want to comment on Trump's arrogance. When I was in the Air Force, we used to tease all the time about the arrogance of the pilots because they thought they were better than everybody else in the Air Force. But if you read Tom Wolfe's The Right Stuff, you have to be arrogant to think you can survive dogfights and that sort of thing. And considering what Trump has done in his life, only an arrogant person who has supreme self-confidence in themselves can achieve what he's achieved.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Self-confidence is critical to these things, being able to stand up against the rule of resistance he's gotten, mm-hmm. all the attacks he's got. How many people could have done that?
I couldn't.
And, I mean, arrogance is such a negative term, but it is, like you're saying, can reflect self-confidence and determination and a belief in your principles.
Yep.
Folks, on that, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. Again, thank you for listening to CCTA Wake Up Call.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. Alan, you wanted to
continue. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on our prior conversation about the importance of educating children, teaching them about the founding of this country, including its relationship to the God-given rights and so on. What I think is very disappointing to a lot of conservatives is that people get elected and conservatives assume that the people that are elected are going to do something to change the trend we've been on. The trend being that we've been moving towards socialism and Marxism from the left. The left seems to be more vocal, but when the conservatives come in, they don't seem to do anything. For example, let me just talk about something locally. We've had an all Republican Board of Education for the last, what, four or five years? It's been 5 years, yeah. Right? So at least. And my understanding is that the statutes allow the boards of education to impact the curriculum. They can.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have total control, but they can influence the curriculum. Is anybody aware of any sort of effort that's been made here locally in Craven County to do something about teaching more patriotism in the school? Has there been any effort to do that? I'm not aware of any.
I don't have any specific examples. I will say that recently, and part of this was related to budget, there's a discussion with the younger, and I think it's K through three, but I think it should be K through five, that there is efforts to evaluate and try to move us to books from electronics, but as they go through that conversation, they say there's a barrier because the state requires that the testing be done online. And I think that can be worked around, but it makes me feel like they're not going to push very hard, and that probably won't end up happening.
And it doesn't matter the media, the where you get your instruction from. To me, the important thing is what the children are being taught. And I'm not aware of any significant changes in the curriculum here in Craven County.
Man.
And I'm personally disappointed with that. I was hoping there would be some expansion of patriotism and things that we all believe in. I haven't seen it.
Yeah.
Okay, heading off into a slightly different direction. So we're recording this on Wednesday. Yesterday was election day throughout a lot of parts of this country.
A lot of primaries.
Primary states. Election days. And somebody ran the table.
Speaking of arrogance. Yes, Trump endorsed the people that won.
Ran the table.
And I don't think it was a coincidence.
Well, it's interesting that his endorsed candidates won, and it was like 35-0 or something. And yet the media is trying to tell us that his approval ratings are in the basement. Now, those two things don't line up.
Wasn't Mitch McConnell one that lost the primary yesterday?
His quote endorsed candidate.
Yes,
lost.
His handpicked guy
not running.
To replace him.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's good news.
That's a relief, isn't it? Now the next one. The other thing is that Trump came out and he endorsed Ken Paxton in Texas.
Right.
And that primary is next week.
Right.
Yeah.
And
John Thune is not happy.
It's against Cornyn, who I think needs to go, and Thune needs to go too.
Yes.
So maybe, I don't think Thune's up for re-election.
No, he's
That's
not.
That's why he's not. I
behaving
think Trump
well.
Would be against him too, and he ought to be.
But I'm thinking that if Thune is a smart man, he's gonna take into consideration the results of this and look at putting back some effort into the SAVE Act.
I would think so, because I think the what do I call them? The establishment Republicans, and
the
that's
squishes.
Well, I was trying to be kind. You're accurate. I'm being kind.
I'd have been meaner.
But they need to wake up and realize that they've had Congress and the presidency, and they have done nothing. They have passed the big, beautiful bill, and I'll give them credit for that. But the, who was it? Massey voted against the big, beautiful bill.
I think he also voted for Trump's impeachment.
Yes, he's out. And there are some others that, you know, again, Trump was elected overwhelmingly. You would think that the Republicans in the same party would enact some of his policies, because he was elected on his policies. He was not elected on his personality. You can see that in this room.
I like his personality.
I do too.
But I want to mention one other thing. I think the voters are crazy. There is a lady in Texas who won her primary. Her name is Maureen Galindo.
Yep.
And she has said that she will turn the ICE detention center into a prison for American Zionists and former ICE officers for human trafficking. It will also be a castration processing center for pedophiles, which will probably be most of the Zionists. She won her primary. What in the world is going on with the voters?
Where was that?
Texas.
Wow.
I am concerned about the anti-Semitism in this country, and that totally blows my mind. I understand that a lot of people who oppose the war in Iran blame it on Israel. No, don't blame it on Israel. Blame it on the fact that Iran has promised to destroy us for 47 years and was developing nukes.
I think we could blame it on the last 40-year administrations who've just ignored things and pushed it down the road. I think Trump has just been the president that had the balls to do what needed to be done. Everybody else has kicked the ball. And the one thing I am disagreeing with him right now is about the regime change, because I think if the Republican Guard stays in, it's really not regime change. But I'm glad that he has done what he's done for the protection, not just of our country, but the world.
And Obama gave them money for terrorism.
Well, Obama thought he was buying peace. You can't buy peace.
No, that doesn't work.
I do believe that, I know being unpredictable is considered a strong point of Trump, and I believe in some cases it is. But this thing's dragging on, and
we say that it's been 80 days.
Well, I know, but it was going to be 2 weeks, and it's 4 weeks, and it's 6 weeks, and then it was a couple days. But then that couple days in the same comment turned into, well, not
as long as it takes.
It was Saturday or Sunday, so now we're out 5, 6. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
There's.
I don't think we can make a peace deal with Iran.
I don't
just
either.
Don't.
I don't either.
And I think part of the issue for President Trump was he was so immediately successful in Venezuela, taking out Maduro. I think he kind of thought, well, we've got the opportunity to do something like that in Iran. But I think he misjudged the extent to which Iran they have so many people who are just determined to destroy America. And those people are not going to give up. I don't think it's like if World War II had we gone in and tried to stop Germany, you couldn't do it unless you took Hitler out and his henchmen. You got to change the regime if you really want to. I mean, so maybe you would have been better off just doing what he did back in July, bombing the hell out of it, and then if it has to be done in the next couple of years, do it again. I don't know. It's just dragging on.
Well, as an Air Force retiree, when I was in the Air Force, we heard repeatedly about how air power won World War II, which I don't think is... I mean, it was a big part of it, but I don't think that's accurate. So I wonder if the Air Force up in D.C. was touting their air superiority a little too heavily, because there's only so much you can do with just air attacks.
Well, I think diplomacy does not move fast.
No.
We don't want it to move fast, because just like a large aircraft carrier, you can't turn it on a dime. You don't want to turn it on a dime. You don't want politics to turn on a dime. Otherwise, we'd be 100% left and then 100% right within moments. We think diplomacy needs to be a slow-moving.
Yeah, but I'm disappointed in Trump in believing that there's a ceasefire. You know, he kept up that fiction for how many weeks that we still had a ceasefire, and Iran was attacking us, attacking people, even though our visitor last week disagreed with me about Iran attacking our Navy in the Straits. But I agree with Mary. Alan, I don't think Iran is going to surrender.
Yeah. I don't. Well, I think the IRGC needs to go.
Yeah, and Venezuela was different. That was an effort. There was really one target.
Mm-hmm.
They got them. There are hundreds of people that's going to step up and hold the same values of their Republican Guard. So, and we don't want to put boots on the ground and those sorts of things at this point. So, I don't know that we're going to get regime change, but we. We need to take action.
Yeah, I don't think we will.
One of the things to realize when you're dealing with Iran, you're not just dealing with Muslims. You're dealing with what's called the 12ers. And these are the people that believe that they can hasten the arrival of their Messiah figure called the Mahdi by creating chaos. So they don't care if they drop an atomic bomb and they die in the process. That's not a concern of them. But they're waiting for the Mahdi to come out of the well where he's been for centuries. And I believe with him comes Mohammed and Jesus. And then they get rid of all the Jews. They seem to overlook that Jesus was Jewish. But this is a branch of Shiite Muslim that is just nuts. And it seems to be centered in Iran.
But, you know, going back to Iraq, if we remember Sad Man Insane,
mm-hmm.
That he got rid of everybody who could have been in opposition.
Yes.
So when he was gone, there was nobody to take leadership. Whereas looking down at Venezuela, we're expecting there would be some kind of leadership that
has survived Maduro.
Whether we totally like them or not.
The point remains, if we don't change the regime, the ideology is going to stay the same. So we have just delayed the inevitable again without regime change.
We need to get the nuclear material.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Thank you. What's the largest gun shop in Craven County? If you said East 70 Pond, you are correct. Since Drew got back from the most recent gun show, new guns have been pouring in faster than they can open the boxes. The large showroom at East 70 Pond, slam bam full of firearms, new guns and used guns, long guns and handguns. You will find weapons for self-defense, hunting, target shooting, and collectibles. The team at East 70 Pond is friendly, courteous, and knowledgeable, especially in the area of guns. If East 70 Pond doesn't have the gun you are looking for, they'll try to find it. If you want to do a gun transfer, East 70 Pond will help you do it right. If you are looking to buy, sell, or trade a gun, there's no better place to do it than East 70 Pond. Of course, East 70 has tools, electronics, trolling motors, and a great selection of jewelry. But their specialty is guns. And we're talking hundreds of guns. Come see for yourself. East 70 Pond, across from Craven County Fairgrounds, New Bern.
Other restaurants claim their food is fresh and fast, but are they friendly? At Moore's, you're treated like family the minute you walk into their doors. With locations in Winterville, New Bern, Swansboro, Moorhead City, and Jacksonville, we've been practicing what we preach since 1945. At Moore's, our barbecue is slow-cooked and smoked over real wood daily until it's so tender it's falling off the bone. Combined with our fresh chicken, cooked-to-order seafood, and homemade fixins, we're sure you'll agree. If it's not Moore's, it's less.
Round here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from round here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance, because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from round here.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business, it's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Welcome back again. Thank you for listening to our sponsors and supporters. We're going to continue with the primary election results.
Yeah, let's talk about the primary a little bit more, because we only mentioned Massey. We didn't mention Cassidy. And Cassidy needed to go, too. In fact, if there was any doubt about it, yesterday he voted with the Democrats to limit Trump's Iran war powers. So the Dems won in the Senate vote. So we were wondering if that vote has to go to the House. I assume it does. There's no guarantee we'll win it in the House, but hopefully Trump will just veto it.
Or ignore it.
Yeah.
I think Trump's strategy was with this ceasefire was, I think the rule allows him to engage in these conflicts for like 60 days.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of 60 days, there has to be a confirmation vote by the, I guess, I don't know if it's both houses or just the Senate, but I think that's why he was saying, no, it's stopped.
Over.
I think if he starts up again, I got another 60 days.
Right.
I think probably right on that.
Strategy is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you got to play the rules as they are.
Yeah. That's an excellent point.
And he'll also invoke, when was the last time they invoked any kind of War Powers Act?
They certainly didn't for Obama, did they?
No.
Or Biden? No. It only matters who does it.
Okay. Kim, you wanted to bring up sheriffs.
This year, we will be electing a sheriff in Craven County, and I just want to make people aware that our sheriff is the highest elected law enforcing.
He's the only elected law enforcement.
I said that wrong. And there are states and agendas that are trying to erode the power of the sheriff. And there are states that are really messing things up. But some of the things, talking about what the sheriffs do with enforcing state law, but they also pr- protect the civil rights of the constituencies in their county. And there have been lots of situations where law has been weaponized, and some state-level politicians want to erode the power of the sheriffs in order to do that. And one of the examples that I want to talk about is, like, when we had COVID, our sheriff said that he was not going to arrest any pastors that kept their church open. And that was an edict that was put down from the governor at the time. So we have to keep the sheriff with the authority and the power he's got to protect the citizens against the federal overreach. And there's an organization that has been started that's nationwide, and it is, I have it right here, but it's talking about constitutional sheriffs. It's a constitutional sheriffs movement, but they have a name, and they reject the notion that sheriffs should be used as extensions of the federal government. The only question I have with that is, how do we say that and then at the same time want our sheriffs to work with ICE? I think that's a little bit of a, Pat?
I wanted to comment.
Go ahead.
I think you're saying that the sheriffs are being used as a tool of the federal government, but I counter that they're being used as a tool of the state governments because they're refusing to, or they're upholding sanctuary laws. Those are clearly against federal law, and we have federal law as supreme in the land. They're upholding valid marijuana.
Right. You misunderstood. The purpose of this group, the constitutional sheriffs, is to affirm that their primary role is to protect the Constitution and the God-given rights that it enshrines. They want to interpose between the people and any unconstitutional act, whoever it comes from.
Well, okay, whoever it comes from, but yeah. You said federal government. I just wanted to make the point that they're also tools of the state government in overreach.
Yeah.
Well, rights are not government-granted. They're God-granted. Alan?
Well, they may be God-granted generally, but, you know, there's the specific laws that can mess it up. But anyway, what I wanted to comment on, when you're talking about the role of the sheriff compared in relationship to the federal government, the Federal Bureau of Investigation, when it was first founded, did not have arrest capability. All they could do was investigate. And that's what it should be returned to. In other words, if the FBI has a case that they're investigating, they should turn that information over to the local sheriff. The sheriff would then manage that arrest thing. And you wouldn't have had, like they when they went into Mar-a-Lago with all these people with their you know, body armor on and all this overkill on these arrests, because the local sheriff would never do something like that. So that needs to be addressed. I agree with you 100%. I don't think the FBI should have the ability to arrest anybody. It should be backed down, and that strengthens the role of the sheriff and makes the sheriff that we elect directly answerable to the people, which is the way that this government was found.
An example of how that has worked in the past and has happened is the sheriff's interposing for the Second Amendment on gun control. Our sheriff in Craven County has said he would not participate in any action against us being able to keep and bear arms. Yeah. And like I said, during COVID, and I'm just bringing this up because I think that we need to know what people's agendas are before we vote for our sheriff.
I think those are issues that the sheriffs bring up in their individual elections. But what is your comment on the sheriffs in Virginia that are saying they will not enforce the Spanberger ban on assault weapons? There's already sheriffs that have come out and said, I won't enforce those.
That's proper.
I think that's proper because that ban is not constitutional.
Yeah, I think the sheriffs retain the power to decide what's constitutional. And then it's up to somebody who has standing to bring it to a court and get a definitive ruling on it. But I wanted to ask you, Kim, you made a comment about sheriffs participating with the federal government in these 287 agreements to enforce immigration law. Is that anti cooperation or pro-cooperation?
I think it's just being forced by a federal agency to do something.
They're not forced. The individual sheriffs have to enter into an agreement. It's a written agreement with the federal government.
Okay.
So they're not forced.
Okay.
Well, in fact, Chip Hughes is proud of the fact that they participate in 287. Raleigh doesn't.
But that's the point of this whole thing, is what I'm saying, is that the federal government can't. You have to agree to do it. You just said that our sheriff signed a thing saying that he
right.
would... Right. I'm saying that the Constitutional Sheriff's Association is saying, we have to agree to work with you. You can't make us work with you.
I don't think the federal government is forcing anybody to work with them. I'm just making that point.
And I agree. This is to keep...
Because the minute you say immigration law, everybody gets their back up. Like the federal government, like Trump is forcing the sheriffs to participate in this, and he's not.
He's not. No.
Well, the Supreme Court ruled on this type of thing in the past, and they call it the anti-commandeering doctrine, and it holds that the federal government may not compel state officers, and especially sheriffs, described in the ruling as chief law enforcement officers or their counties, to help enforce any federal statute. The decision is recognized that the Constitution's 10th Amendment protects state authority and limits federal jurisdictions, means what it says.
Well, you forgot that you in there the word compel. It says they cannot compel them to do it. And I'm making the point that nobody's compelling them.
I agree.
But we also know...
Make that point.
We also know that our state legislature has done things to impel the sheriffs to cooperate with the federal government.
Well, somebody tell Raleigh, Durham.
Well, they've done...
It's in statute.
It's in statute now, yeah.
Has been for a year or so.
That they have to participate in that 287 program?
I don't know the details of 287, I'll be honest.
Well, that's the name of the agreements that they enter into with the federal government so that the state officers have some jurisdiction within the federal law scheme.
And I think what we've also seen is the cooperation, the forcing of the cooperation of the sheriffs to let the federal agencies know that they have somebody that they can find, and you know, then it's up to the federal government whether to respond or not.
But you know, your point makes my point that it's the state government that's compelling the sheriffs to enact state policy.
But they are state. They are state officers.
But they're elected officers.
They're elected state officers.
Yes. Which means they have power that's totally separate from the state. Like a district attorney, the state cannot compel a district attorney to file a criminal charge against anybody. They are elected, and they answer to their constituents. The judge cannot compel them to do that. So the sheriffs have... As elected officials, they have a little bubble there where they're, you know, the big guy.
By the way, going along with the sheriffs, going along with the prison systems, I guess I'm going off into a slight avenue. California apparently is giving iPads to the prisoners.
Yeah, we brought that up.
So they can watch the porn or whatever.
Right.
I would rather go with what Joe Arpaio did a few years ago when he was required to put in cable TV, and he put in cable TV, and he put on the only channel was the Weather Channel.
So I want to go back to this for the last minute on this. Right now, Connecticut... effective December of 2000, they took all 8 sheriffs in their state and stripped them of their power, leaving only state police and local departments with appointed leaders to handle all law enforcement. Currently, in Washington state, they're moving against sheriffs with legislation to impose standards that would allow the state to remove them as a sheriff. The progressive lawmakers make themselves, rather than the voters, the arbitrators. So it is something to be aware of.
Yeah, somebody needs to bring that to court and get it up to the Supreme Court.
Right. There's a political attack on the sheriffs.
Yeah. The Sovereign Citizens, if you watch the clips on YouTube of local police interacting with Sovereign Citizens, they don't recognize the jurisdiction of police or the state, but they want to talk to the sheriff because he's the man.
He's the elected
official, and he's in charge of everything.
Okay, folks, on that, we're going to take another quick break to hear from our sponsors and supporters. This is CCTA Wake Up Call.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Around here, folks like to talk to each other, get to know you, look you in the eye, and see that you care. We call it the human touch. Whether you were born here or moved here really doesn't matter as far as we're concerned. You're from around here, and since 1905, folks like you have been calling folks like us for their auto, home, life, and business insurance. So come see us, or just give us a call, and we'll get you the best insurance protection possible at a real affordable price. We're Robinson & Stith Insurance because when you really need help, you'll want somebody from around here.
Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? People in the community that love this country to protect individual liberty and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back. Again, thank you for listening to the sponsors and supporters. Pat, you're going to take us off into which direction? How much money?
$1.776 million.
Million?
A billion.
All right. Even better.
Yeah.
Fund established as part of the settlement between Trump and the IRS. So Trump had three lawsuits that this settlement resolves. One, that Trump's not going to be audited. Two, that there's going to be a fund available to reimburse people who have been victims of lawfare. And there's plenty of them. And that includes the J6ers. It includes Hunter Biden. I mean, he could apply. It includes the lawyers that were prosecuted or disbarred by state bars for advising Trump during the January 6th event. Like John Eastman, he was just disbarred in California. Sidney Powell. But anytime the federal government lines up against you, they have deep pockets, endless amounts of money, endless amounts of power. I remember when I was still a state prosecutor. I was a public defender at the time. And this guy that we had charged with scams, you know, online scams and whatnot. Well, the federal government came in to take over the prosecution. Well, there's no defense now. There's no way that a public defender in this poor state of New Mexico can prevail against the federal government's overwhelming power and budget. And then, of course, we've all watched Trump for the last 10 years. It's just been endless. It's just been relentless.
And his family.
In fact, as part of this Arctic frost investigation, they found out that the FBI and has never done this before. They, instead of destroying the evidence that Jack Smith had collected as part of his prosecution of Trump, they kept it. They preserved it and hid it in one of those secret rooms that they keep finding at the FBI. And it's supposed to be kept until 2 years after Trump leaves office. Because if you remember, the judge that dismissed that case dismissed it without prejudice, which means it can be refiled. Yes. So they specifically held on to this evidence so they can go after Trump again within 2 years after he leaves office.
But what strikes me is, again, you see how Trump considers other people. Because the reality of it was he was suing the federal government for the way that they unlawfully were going after his tax returns. And consequently, he could have kept that award. But what did he do? He sets up a fund to assist the other people who were treated unfairly. I mean, how many people would do that? I mean, Trump is such a generous person that would do that. He's thinking about other people. And that's a refreshing thing.
Yeah, I think about the 17 or so co-defendants in that Fannie Willis case down in Fulton County, Georgia.
Sure.
Little people that had agreed to be electors.
Yeah.
They had to hire attorneys, and I'm sure that it bankrupted them.
Yeah.
Trump, you know, had deep pockets.
But he does look, my point being, he does look out for the small.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
That I think was really, that's what I took out of it.
Yeah.
There was something that I read in opposition to that fund, and it had to do with Trump and his entire family. And I don't know if it extended to the administration, I don't remember, but it indicated that they couldn't be, it was basically granting them immunity or indemnity from being charged with anything. And that always rubs me the wrong way, because I just kind of initially want to kick back and say, why do I need immunity if I didn't do anything wrong?
Because people can destroy you by false charges. That's the idea. They run these people, just like Pat was saying. If you get charged by the federal government, you can be as innocent as a clean white snow. It doesn't matter. You have got to spend your money to defend yourself and prove it. And even if you win, you lose because they take, it's like happened to Flynn, and bankrupted him.
As we've heard very often, that a grand jury, given the opportunity, they'll indict a ham sandwich.
Mm-hmm. Well, the point of the fund is not immunity.
No.
It was to do with his taxes. No more audits.
Okay.
And it closed all of the IRS cases that preceded the date of the settlement.
Okay. For him and his family.
Yeah, okay. For him and his family.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about the audits. If you look back now 15 years or whatever else, Rush Limbaugh was audited every year.
Mm-hmm. So is Sean Hannity,
Sean
right?
Sean Hannity's audited every year. Somehow, all of these conservative spokespersons happen to fall into the audit trail.
Right. Well, I want to remind everybody that the point of lawfare is the punishment is the process, not the outcome. So the punishment is bankrupting you for daring to oppose the federal government.
Well, I don't think I could survive the federal government.
None of us could.
Yeah.
That's
no,
the point.
No,
yeah.
No, Big Brother.
Sure. But of course, the media is reporting this as a slush fund. Susan Collins, as usual, has come out and criticized it. She wants to know how they're going to decide who is eligible and how much they get. Well, of course, that's got to be done within the settlement. And I would say read the settlement agreement. But they're saying, the press says, this is a slush fund for the J6ers. So in order to taint the good motives of Trump in including the little people, because that's what I call them, the little people, the regular people that sure. that get attacked by the federal government.
The attorney that ended up in, I don't know if he went to jail, he was a Trump lawyer and he was a turncoat. I can't remember what his name was, but he was disbarred.
A turncoat against whom?
Against Michael Avenatti?
Yes.
Avenatti.
Yes.
Avenatti.
So he could even apply for that then, because that was what his defense was. He said this is a political assassination.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be eligible because he went to jail for state crimes.
Okay. I was just wondering.
He stole
how they
money
determined.
From his client. That's a number
right.
one.
That's a good. Alan, go.
Yeah, I have another topic that's just like bring up briefly. In a number of graduation ceremonies, which have been happening in the last week or so, college, universities, and so on, and they've had a number of speakers that have addressed these groups, as they normally do. And in several of them, the speaker was talking in glowing terms about AI, how AI is going to help society, and AI is going to make everything more efficient, and so on. And interestingly enough, large numbers of the graduates stood up and started booing the speakers. And what it turns out is that the younger generation are very concerned. They did a poll about this. It's like 65 or 70% of the younger generation are very concerned about their ability to earn a good income with the learning that they've had and the education they paid for. In a society in which AI becomes so controlling and so much a part of what we accomplish. So moving from humans to AI. And it's, you know, all new technology has that impact. But this is really going to impact the new generation if it goes through like they're talking.
I have one word for you, Luddite. Does anybody know what that word means?
No.
When the textile industry was against bringing in the machines to do the weaving, the people that were opposed to that new technology were called Luddites. I think the college graduates think they're entitled to a high-paying job. And let's face it, AI is out of the bottle. There's no stuffing it back in.
No, I'm not saying it should be eliminated. But what I'm saying is that, and I think their concern is that, and what you're talking about now is with, you know, what happened with the clothing industry and so on. That's one thing, and it's, you know, it could happen here. But the point is that they did a study the other day where they took code writing, which is something that a lot of these students study for, and it takes time. It's a well-paid job. AI came in, and in an hour and a half, did code writing that would have taken 40 people like 30 days to do.
Okay.
So it's scaring these people, and college educations are becoming less useful. You're paying a lot of money to get it, right?
Go, yeah. Glenn.
Well, maybe they felt like the period they needed AI was done since they've graduated. They probably used it when they were in school.
Yeah, exactly. ChatGPT.
So I've gotten my good at AI. Yeah, now it's a threat to me.
Yes, they
Anybody that goes on Facebook and sees any of the memes or videos, it's difficult to discern what's real and what's AI. A lot of them with animals or people, you can impose anybody's voice on anybody, any head on anybody, and it's concerning to me. In areas of like security, there was recently, and I think we talked about it before, a program that could improve. And every time that they uploaded the improvement, like remember when we had Windows 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever. Anyhow, the last update, version 5, they put in version 6. Version 5 is still there. Version 5 figured out how not to be deleted by version 6. And that's what worries me, because the AI is going to get smarter than the people that input stuff into it. And then I think of the Terminator movie.
Yeah.
or what was it, 2001 A Space Odyssey.
Right.
I can't do that, Dave.
Yeah.
Right.
Open the door, Dave.
You know, we were talking earlier about, again, that on AI, that a song may be uploaded to the internet or whatever else, and AI will slightly change the song, and all of a sudden somebody's copyright is useless.
Well, look at the ads that Spencer Pratt is making. Those are AI, and they're hilarious.
And you can't sue, as you said, Alan, because that's not a person.
They're machines.
Folks, on that, we're going to have to take say so long for today, and thank you for listening to the CCTA Wake Up Call.